All right. Well, if you have your Bibles tonight, I invite you to turn with us to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 1. 1 Timothy, chapter 1 tonight. And again, the Lord has led me in a different direction tonight. And I believe we're going to start going through the books of 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy here on Sunday nights. Of course, 1 Timothy and its sequel, 2 Timothy, written by the Apostle Paul sometime in 2692. Sometime AD 64, but some folks and scholars, they say that the date of the writing is uncertain, but they almost all agree that it was after the Apostle Paul's imprisonment that we looked at just a little bit this morning from our message there in the book of Philippians. And Paul had a singular focus in writing this particular epistle of 1 Timothy, and that was to encourage young Timothy, his preacher boy, his son in the faith, Paul's young assistant, to be a godly example. In fact, look if you would, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 12. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 12, the Bible says, is of course Paul talking to Timothy, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." And so he wanted Timothy to be a godly example. He wanted him to also exercise his spiritual gifts. You're there, chapter 4. Look down, verse number 14. "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery." And he also wanted young Timothy to give guidance in his pastoral responsibilities during Paul's absence. Look there, if you would, chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. The Bible says there in chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." I'm thankful tonight that we have a place that we can say, beyond any shadow of a doubt, is a place we can go to for truth. As we look at the world around us and the onslaught, the advent of what is being deemed quote-unquote fake news, and you don't know what's real, you don't know what's truth, we have a place, we have a book that we can turn to that we know beyond any shadow of a doubt it is truth 100%, no ifs, ands, or buts about it, no doubts. The Word of God, the church, is the place where you can get truth. And so we see Paul had several purposes for writing this book to young Timothy. Of course, it was written to Timothy, Paul's own son in the faith. Look there, if you would, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. We see Paul's greeting. He says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope." I'm thankful that we have a hope tonight, and his name is Jesus. I'm thankful tonight that, again, when there seems to be no hope, when all hope seems lost, Jesus is our hope. He is our sure foundation. Verse number 2, "Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord." And as we read here in 1 Timothy, and even in the 2 Timothy, really, but especially here 1 Timothy in its six short chapters, Paul here is focusing on advice. He's focusing on exhortation. He's focusing on encouragement to a young pastor, but also respecting his personal conduct and his ministerial work. And, you know, I am thankful that as a young pastor still, and even when I was a younger pastor yet, when I first started out, the Lord put certain men in our path that I could call up on the phone and get advice, get encouragement, get ideas from, because, you know, before I pastored, I had no idea what it was like to be a pastor. And it's always good to have those older men that you can look towards. And that's what Timothy had here in the Apostle Paul. And one of the key words you find throughout the book of 1 Timothy is going to be the word conduct. And the key verse is one we already looked at, chapter 3 and verse 15, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. The Apostle Paul wanted to make sure that Timothy knew, beyond any shadow of doubt, that there were certain ways that you were to conduct yourself in the house of God. Why? Because it's the pillar and ground of the truth. There are certain things that must be done. And so tonight, we want to see here several things from chapter number 1. We're just going to cover, probably verses 3 through 11, and look at this counsel that Paul gives to Timothy. And the very first counsel that Paul gives to Timothy is so vitally important when dealing with a young pastor, and that is this: to teach no other doctrine except what is found in the Bible. To teach what is found in the Word of God. He also deals with how to deal with legalistic teachers who would take the Word of God, they would twist it, they would turn it, they would pervert it for their own use, for their own gains, and use it to try and control the people, so to speak. And so the very first thing we see when dealing with legalistic teachers who emphasize non-essentials rather than real godliness. Instead of building up character, they stir up strife. Notice there, if you would, verses 3 through 6. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. The Bible says, "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain or empty jangling." And so we see here Paul, he tells Timothy that he's reminding him that he told him to abide still at Ephesus. At the time, young Timothy, no doubt, as he was at Ephesus, he wanted to throw in the towel. He wanted to quit, as many young pastors do when they first start out, because, again, they've never been a pastor before, and usually they've had a pastor that that pastor has made it look easy. That pastor has made it look like there's no greater work in the world. And by the way, there is no greater work in the world than preaching and teaching and ministering and working with people and all the rest. There really is no greater work. But at the same time, it can be no greater downfall. There can be no greater letdown, as it were. This afternoon, I was sitting in the office. Mandy, she's part of a pastor's wife Facebook group. And this pastor's wife posted anonymously. We don't know who she is, but her husband, the pastor, just resigned his church after 13 years to keep it from splitting, to keep it from splintering. And the cause of it was gossip. The cause of it was division. And they never went to the pastor and talked to him. They just started sowing discord, started sowing strife, and all the rest. And he was there for 13 years. And that's why I preach so much on unity. And there needs to be a unity amongst the people, because the Bible tells us a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Strife and discord and all the rest, that can get in there and really wreak havoc on a church. And Satan would have, he would want nothing more than to see a church wrecked because of gossip, to see a church wrecked because of strife and discord. But we see here, Timothy, he wanted to quit. And Paul, the older pastor, he comes to him and says, no, you abide. When he said abide, that meant you stay, you stand. The Lord called you here for a reason, and you stay where the Lord has you. And Paul, he goes into Macedonia, and he says that thou mightest charge. And so he gives Timothy this charge. Thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. In other words, you teach them, number one, to teach a false doctrine. That's what that means. No other doctrine, a false doctrine. And it's an abomination to the Lord to teach something that is not in the Scripture, to teach something that is not in the Word of God. And Paul tells Timothy, you charge them, you are to teach no other doctrine. And we see here he condemns the unsound doctrine. In verse number 4, he says, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies. Why? They minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. In other words, don't give any heed to foolish questions. There are people that they're not saved. They want nothing to do with God. And they'll come into a church and they'll just, I can't begin to tell you how many times I've dealt with people, and all it is this foolish question after foolish question. And you maybe heard it said, oh, there's no such thing as a stupid question. Come sit with me sometime when some people come in. There is a such thing as a stupid question. And the reason is they're not really looking for an answer. They're like the Pharisees in Jesus' day. They just want to trip you up. They just want to, again, cause that strife, that division, that contention. And so there, we see there, verse number 5, Paul says, now the end of the commandment is charity. In other words, love is proven out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. In other words, there has to be a sincerity to our faith. Our faith needs to be one that is sincere. And then verse 6, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling. In other words, all they do is talk and talk and talk, and all it is a lot of empty talk. That's what that phrase vain jangling means. Empty, vain talk. And so there are some, as Paul deals with it here, that would emphasize the non-essentials rather than real godliness. And some churches, they are guilty of it. They think that if they can legislate morality, if they can legislate the heart, then that somehow makes us godly. That doesn't make us godly. Godly living is not about all of the rules that you keep. Godly living is about, are you drawing closer to the Lord? Are you drawing closer to your Savior? But not only that, then secondly tonight, and finally, we see these legalistic teachers, they desire to be teachers of the law without understanding it, without understanding its significance. Notice there, if you would, verses 7 through 11. The Bible says, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient. for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, or for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And so we see here, these false teachers, they have a desire to teach the law, but they don't understand it. Years ago, there was a pastor who he became an atheist, and he got up on a Sunday morning and he denounced the Bible. He denounced the Word of God. But here's what he told the church. He says, "But since you've given me a good benefit package, I will stay and I will still preach you the Bible, even though I don't believe it." And I remember reading this and hearing this, and I'm thinking, why would you waste your time preaching something you don't believe? Listen, if I don't believe this book, then I ought not to be up here. I ought not to be preaching. I ought not to be teaching, because I don't understand it in the first place. And that's what the Bible is saying here. They had a spiritual ignorance to them. But then Paul, he's very quick to clear it up, that even though they don't understand the law is still perfect. The Word of God is still perfect. The Word of God is still true, verse number 8. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. In other words, this book is still good if people use it right. If people use it the way that it's supposed to have been used. Then we see the purpose of the law, verses 9 and 10. And the purpose of the law is not made for a righteous man. And when you and I got saved, the Bible says you and I, we were declared righteous. We were justified just as if we had never sinned. And so now the law is no longer for us. The law has always been to be a mirror to show people their need of the Savior, to show them their need to be born again, to show them their need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for those that are not saved, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. And so we see here the purpose of the law. It's for evildoers. It's for those who are disobedient, for those who are living in rebellion, for those who are ungodly, godless, full of profanity and murders, impurity, slave traffickers, liars, those who commit perjury, who they know the truth, but they still tell lies. Things that are contrary to sound doctrine. And then verse number 11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God. And notice what it says at the end of verse number 11. Which was committed to my trust. Folks, tonight you and I have been committed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I have been given stewardship over this glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What are you and I doing with that gospel? What are you and I doing with it to be good stewards of the gospel? And so the very first thing we see that we're taught as ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ is to teach no other doctrine. If it's not in the book, if it's not in the Bible, if it's not in the Word of God, we ought not to teach it as gospel truth. And by the way, tonight, all of us here, you don't have to be a pastor to be a minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can take this book, Parents can teach their children. Grandparents can teach their grandchildren. You can take this. You lead somebody to Christ. You become their spiritual parent. You become their spiritual mentor. You can lead them in everything that they need to know. But it has to be from this book. That's why the Apostle Paul in verse 11 says, which was committed to my trust. Are you being trustworthy tonight with the gospel that the Lord has given to you? Is this church being trustworthy with this gospel that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us? Tonight, let's be trustworthy of it. Let's not teach any doctrine, other doctrine, false doctrine, other than that which is in the Word of God. Genesis to Revelation, everything man needs for living is found right here in the Word of God, is found right here in these 66 books. Let's be good stewards of the glorious gospel that has been committed to our trust. Let's pray.